If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A big miss on today's monthly jobs report.
It definitely raises some concerns that the labor market's recovery, at least, isn't as strong as many economists had projected.
We'll talk about what's holding back the recovery and how markets are reacting. And COVID vaccines are more widely available, but a shortage of syringes could hold them back. Plus, after a year of making music via Zoom, how will musicians work in the future? It's Friday, May 7th. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Hiring in the U.S. unexpectedly slowed in April. The Labor Department said the economy added 266,000 non-farm jobs. That's far short of the 1 million economists had forecast, and the weakest monthly gain since January. The unemployment rate ticked up to 6.1% from 6% in March. A big complaint of many companies is that they can't find enough workers to meet demand. We'll explore this in greater detail later in the show. Despite the lackluster jobs report, U.S. stocks finished higher today. Technology stocks were the standouts, with the Nasdaq closing up nearly 0.9%. The Dow rose 229 points, or more than 0.6%, to another record high. The S&P 500 also hit a new high after gaining 0.75%. Our markets reporter Mike Wursthorn has more on markets reaction.
Stock and bond investors got a big surprise with the jobs report Friday morning. The expectations were for 1 million jobs to be added. That came in well below expectations, which ultimately ended up being good for investors because it gave a clear indication that the Federal Reserve, which is really sort of the engine of both these markets right now and the stimulative efforts that they've been doing, they're not going to change course. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation as to whether or not this red-hot economy could force the Fed to move sooner in interest rates, pare back some of the fiscal policy that they've really pumped into the markets to help stabilize things. This jobs report says that the Fed's skepticism overall in terms of moving sooner on interest rates has been well placed, and given investors a lot of confidence that we're going to be in the same monetary policy environment for quite some time.
Vaccine administrators say they aren't receiving enough of the special syringes needed for COVID-19 doses. 8 states and multiple local health departments and healthcare providers say that kits they receive from the federal government to administer vaccines contain an insufficient number of so-called low dead space syringes. Our reporter Austin Hufford has more.
These special syringes are needed by the COVID-19 vaccine effort to extract every last dose of the vaccine. If a special syringe isn't used, only 10 doses can be extracted out of every Moderna vial instead of 11. The reason for the shortage is that these syringes are in need across the entire globe. We are trying to vaccinate, put one or two shots into every single person in every country in the world. That's putting an immense strain on the US and global supply chains. The issue is that there is only so much vaccine that can be produced this year. And so any dose that is wasted is one that isn't able to go into the arm of a person who needs it.
Syringe manufacturers say it'll be another 2 or 3 months until they ramp up full capacity. The World Health Organization endorsed a Chinese-made COVID-19 vaccine for the first time, clearing a shot from the state-owned company Sinopharm for global use. The approval is expected to help alleviate a severe shortage of doses in the developing world. But the doses won't be immediately available because China faces production constraints and because Sinopharm doesn't yet have a distribution deal in place. and a federal grand jury indicted Derek Chauvin and three other former Minneapolis police officers on charges of willfully violating George Floyd's civil rights in the encounter that killed him. The new federal indictments come after a state jury convicted Chauvin of second-degree murder last month. The three other former officers have been charged at the state level with aiding and abetting Chauvin and are set to face trial in August. Lawyers for the former officers either declined to comment or didn't respond to requests for comment. Coming up, why employers say they can't find workers despite persistently high unemployment. We'll get into that after the break.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As the economy rebounds from pandemic-related restrictions and businesses reopen, the path to recovery isn't necessarily going to be smooth. Right now, there's a big mismatch between the number of jobs employers want to fill and the number of people applying for them. Put simply, businesses can't find enough people to hire. That's fueling concerns that the recovery could be stunted. For more on this, let's bring in our labor economics and policy reporter, Eric Morath. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Happy to be here.
So, Eric, we got some surprising news on the employment front today. As we said at the top of the show, employers only added 266,000 jobs to payrolls in April. Economists expected a million. What do these numbers tell us about the strength of the economic rebound?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely raises some concerns that the labor market's recovery, at least, isn't as strong as many economists had projected just as recently as earlier this week. I think it could point to a number of different factors. One, I think there's probably still some apprehension and caution out there, both on the sides of employers and some consumers. But we also have this concern about the supply of labor. And we know that there are still millions of workers who are concerned about returning to the workplace because they have COVID concerns or because they don't have childcare. And we also know that for about 40% of people on unemployment benefits, they are being paid more through those benefits than they received at their previous jobs. So if they're looking to find a job at about the same pay rate, there's not a huge incentive to move on that before the end of the summer when these benefits expire.
Where are we seeing changes in the job market, Eric? Which sectors are picking up?
Last month, there was really strong hiring again in leisure and hospitality, especially among restaurants. So that's a part of the economy we're still seeing the reopening happening. Restrictions are being lifted. More states are allowing indoor dining, for example. We're seeing some suggestions that elements of the tourism and airline industries, you know, could be improving as more people are willing to venture out. So I'd say that's been the real source of strength, and especially last month.
There are more job openings now than before the pandemic, and yet unemployment is still far higher than it was before the pandemic, with millions of people still out of work. So why are companies having a hard time filling these jobs? What's going on here?
I think it really reflects a number of reasons. I mean, for one, there's 16 million Americans receiving unemployment benefits. So that's a large number of workers, you know, who can take their time in finding work. And even the Biden administration has signaled if you're not comfortable, you have safety concerns, you don't have to go to work and you can still legally remain on benefits. But there are other factors as well. I mean, one is that not all the workers who lost jobs during the pandemic, imagine someone maybe that lost a job at a mall type retailer, have the skills to get a job where they're available, which is a lot of warehouse jobs, a lot of delivery jobs, construction, home construction has been a hot sector for the past year. You might not have the skills, the licensing that you need to take a job. There's also location of the jobs is a concern. A lot of the jobs lost during the pandemic were places like airports, stadiums, and downtowns. Those areas generally are really well served by public transit and near densely populated areas. A lot of the jobs created over the past year have been these outlying warehouses, and maybe the suburban restaurant is getting more lunch customers because, you know, people aren't going to their downtown offices. But that might be really hard for the worker to get to. And I talked to a University of Chicago economist, and he said, if you lost a $15 an hour job that was 15 minutes from your house, it might not be equivalent to take a $15 an hour job that's an hour from your house. You got to consider the extra costs of commuting and maybe of childcare. And that might just kind of wipe out that you'd make much more at that job, especially if you still have those benefits at hand.
And so what are employers doing to try and entice workers?
Well, one thing they're starting to do is raise wages. So we saw pretty healthy wage growth this past month, and that was surprising given that so much of the hiring was in the lowest wage sector. Usually that helps kind of push down average wages. And we've seen places like Walmart and Amazon, the number one and number two private sector employers, pledge to raise wages. And we've seen people like Pilgrim's Pride, the big chicken producer, say they're going to spend millions of dollars this year. They're increasing their budget by millions of dollars to retain and attract workers. So that's one thing that businesses can do. Another is, in some cases, they're trying to be a little bit more flexible, allowing, you know, maybe to work from home or allowing a little more flexible hours to accommodate childcare issues. And the other thing that's happening, we're seeing average hours per week go up. So more people who are on the job are being asked to work overtime to make up perhaps for the inability to bring on that additional worker.
Eric, what has been the Biden administration's reaction to today's jobs report and to the job situation in general?
I had an opportunity just this morning to speak with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh.
As a general population, people want to be working because unemployment benefits doesn't allow you to earn health care, doesn't allow you to earn a pension credit, doesn't allow you to invest in your 401k at work. So I think people, most Americans, want to be back in work.
And, you know, he pointed out that 266,000 jobs. Before the pandemic, we would have been talking about how this is a pretty strong jobs report, Charlie. So, you know, it is notable, 250,000 more jobs than the last month. It's not nothing. And by and large, you know, the Biden administration says they don't see the unemployment insurance as being a big factor dissuading people. They say, you know, you're giving up maybe a chance to add to your retirement or get employer-sponsored health insurance by not taking a job. So they say there's reasons beyond just the wages to take a job. But also, I would say the Biden administration has tried to learn from the Obama administration. Some criticize the Obama administration for not doing more, not giving more stimulus post the 2007 to 2009 recession. So I think the Biden administration is comfortable with the idea of, hey, maybe we slowed job creation a little bit over the summer, but we didn't leave people in the lurch. We didn't leave people unable to pay their rent because they were able to have these benefits. And, you know, in fairness, in the grand scheme of things, if it takes until August or September for the job recovery to really take off, that's not a massive difference from, you know, April or May.
When do economists and others who closely follow labor trends think this job imbalance will clear up?
Well, yesterday they would have said that we were going to see that in this report. forecasting is always tricky, whether it's the economy or the weather. There was expectations that we were going to see really strong job growth this spring and summer. And this report, I think, has cooled those expectations. I think some are looking ahead to September as a really important point. You know, by that time, the hope is, and the Biden administration is even seeking to have, you know, the vast majority of Americans vaccinated. The idea would be that schools probably would be, for the most part, fully reopened by then, removing some of those childcare concerns. And the extended unemployment benefits, which for some are 18 months of unemployment benefits, those will come to an end in September. So that all that could coalesce around bringing perhaps millions of more workers to the job market.
Wall Street Journal labor economics and policy reporter Eric Morath, thanks for being with us.
Sure, happy to join you.
And finally, after the pandemic forced musicians to halt in-person shows and start collaborating remotely, they're now starting to regroup. But on our sister podcast, The Future of Everything, Grammy Award-nominated music producer Oak Felder says the restrictions actually helped him make one of his best songs yet for the film The United States versus Billie Holiday. Felder says he and collaborators Jamie Hartman and Sebastian Cole played the song over Zoom, and one of them even played guitar in the backseat of their car.
And so he pulls it out and he starts strumming these chords to The Devil and I. The Devil and I got up to dance a slow dance.
The Devil and I got up to dance a slow dance. She held my waist and took my hand and swung me around into a trance.
And he starts singing like that stanza, the chorus stanza. He's like, this is something I kind of had floating in my head. And then he was like, we should incorporate the strong and beautiful and black.
She said there's to be no turning back. I'm strong, I'm beautiful and black.
You can hear more about how Felder is making music and the future of the industry at the Wall Street Journal's virtual Future of Everything Festival next week. And that's what's news for this week. I'm Charlie Turner. Our hosts are Anne-Marie Fertoli and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week by Trine Nuri and Sam Westren, with help from Paolo Bossinen, Jenny Eng, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, J.R. Whalen, and Chris Zinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.